Our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to fellowship around the written word and to fellowship with one another. And our Father, we ask that as we look into your word now, every eye is open to see, every hair is open to hear. There is no confusion in any heart. Rather, we all enjoy the fullness of light, revelation, and insight in the name of Jesus. And we walk in the reality of the same in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We give you praise, for we know it's done. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So you can take a seat. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay. So, for some time now, we've been looking at the subject of healing. Amen. You know, I told you that we would have three sets of teachings, right? On the subject of healing. Amen. So, we looked at quite a number of things so far. We began with 7 facts on healing, which was basically an introduction to the subject of healing. You know, just getting you conversant with that subject. Amen. Okay, then last week we got more detailed, amen, you know, teaching you how to receive healing. You know, we titled it Healing in God's Word, right? And then I explained to you that God's Word is medicine. Do you remember that? For your flesh, amen. So, you know, you don't have to always wait till a meeting, okay, to get your healing. Did you get that? You don't always have to wait till you get to a meeting. Now, healings happen in our meetings, amen. Okay, but you don't have to wait for a meeting. You know, that teaching was to help you take care of pressing situations, amen. In the absence of your pastor, amen. When you are not in church, you know, being able to take care of pressing situations. You know, and I'm grateful to God as usual, amen. Folks have listened, hallelujah. And they are getting their healings already, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay, and we'll have more and more and more of that. You know, even every folks plus even the preacher. Amen. Oh, you don't get that. Even plus me. Oh, I listen to my sermons too. Amen. Okay, so you know, over the week I wasn't feeling too well, so I just took that one, a healing in God's word. Okay? So I started listening to it over and over and over again. I told you that the more you do that, you are giving God's medicine to your flesh. Amen. You know, and you know the way it happened, I'd even forgotten I was sick. That's how it happened. I just remembered later that I was actually had this, but it was gone. Do you get it? In the process of just listening to that. You know, so, you know, God's word is real. Amen. God's word is real. It is real. It is real, okay? So, whenever I come to church like this, we teach God's word. Please, make sure you understand that we are not just giving you facts, okay? Whereby we just give you, we just want to fill your head with information. No, you know, in those very words, you know, like we said last week, is the power of God, amen, to effect a healing and a cure in your body. Hallelujah. And we will see more healings in the name of Jesus, more and more and more and more and more of that in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so today I want to begin something, all right, still along this lines of healing. I want to now begin another thing. Amen. Now, I told you 3 parts, right? Okay, so the first part, 7 facts, right? And second part, healing in God's word. Now, we want to look at how to keep your healing. Amen. How to keep your healing. So, this particular teaching will be for those who have listened, first of all, to 7 facts. Amen. Then healing in God's word and are now healed. Do you get it? Okay, so now this one will be for such persons. How do you keep what God has given you? Amen. So, are you ready for that? Okay, so we need to know, amen. Because, you know, it's not enough to be healed. It's, or rather, having been healed, there is such a thing as living a healthy life. Do you get it? You know, I'd rather live a healthy life than having to need healing every time. Do you get it? I'd rather not need healing. Do you get what I just said? Do you get it? Let me say it again. I rather live in health. Do you get it? You still don't get it. I rather live in health than having to need healing every time. Do you get what I'm saying? Okay, thank you. So I'd rather have a healthy life whereby, you know, I walk in the healing power of God every time, amen. You know, whereby there's no sickness that needs healing, amen. You know, than having to now seek for healing. Do you get it? Okay, so I'd rather have that. Amen. So that's what this particular part of the teaching is for. Okay, to help those who have received healing keep what the Lord has given them. So are you ready for that? Okay, so please turn your Bibles quickly. Ecclesiastes 10 verse 10. Ecclesiastes 10 verse 10. A quiet or popular verse. Now it says, if the axe is dull and one does not sharpen the edge, then it must use more strength. Do you get that? You know what an axe is used for? Cut down trees, right? Okay? And then you see someone trying to cut down a tree with a blunt axe. Right? You know, such a person will need to use more strength. You know, he would give himself a lot of issues, right? Because he's not applying wisdom in that situation? Can we say that? Okay, because you know, a blunt axe will give you a lot of issues, right? You know, you will spend more time, more strength than is required. But look at that. It says, but wisdom brings success. Hallelujah. Okay, or the KJV says, wisdom is profitable to direct. Okay, that is more closer to the Hebrew. It is profitable to direct. Okay, or wisdom brings success. So the Bible instructs the children of God, the saints of Christ, to be wise. Okay, to be wise. So in this situation, what would a wise person do? Seeing a blunt axe, sharpen it, right? Okay, so it would use lesser strength, okay, but get more results. Okay, so wisdom is profitable, amen. And that is why the Bible teaches God's children to be wise. Look at Proverbs 4 verse 7. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 7, another popular verse. Now it says, wisdom is the principal thing. Underline principal thing. Okay? Therefore, get wisdom. Hallelujah. And in all your understanding, or in all your getting, get understanding. Okay? So, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all your getting, get understanding. Hallelujah. The word wisdom used there translates the Hebrew word chokma. Chokma. That's chokmah. Now that word means shrewdness. Shrewdness. That's shrewdness. Okay? Which means cleverness or prudence. To be circumspect. Okay? To be circumspect. You see that Ephesians 5. Verse 15, please turn your Bible there. It says, see then that you walk circumspectly. Underline that. Walk circumspectly. Not as fools, but as wise. Do you see that? Not as fools, but as wise. Now the word wise used there, Ephesians 5, 15, translates the Hebrew word sophos. Sophos. Or Greek word rather. Sophos. That's S-O-P-H-O-S. S-O-P-H-O-S, which means clever or intelligent. Clever or intelligent. So do you see God's word instructs Christians to be clever? Do you see that? God's word instructs Christians to be wise, to be smart, okay, to be intelligent. You see, some Christians struggle today not just in spiritual things, but also in physical things because they choose to disregard this simple instruction. Okay, and you see them struggling. You know, many Christians assume today that faith means fully. Okay, faith means fully. You see someone saying that, I want to fast 40 days because Jesus fasted for 40 days. Amen? See someone say, Daniel entered into a lion's den. I think that happened in UI here. Amen? You know, Daniel entered into a lion's den. Therefore, I shall enter into a lion's den as well. And I shall not be eaten. You know, some Christians assume that faith means fully. That's not true. Okay? You know, I like to think this way. If the same Bible that records miraculous events also told you to be wise, then you have to be wise. Don't you think so? I mean, the same Bible that records Daniel entering into the lion's den and I wasn't eating tells you to be wise. Amen? Do you see that? Did you get that? You know, the same Bible that recorded Jesus fasting for 40 days tells you to be circumspect. So, if all that was required or needed for the Christian walk was faith, then the Bible wouldn't instruct us to be wise. Do you get it? If all we required for the Christian walk was faith and nothing else, the Bible won't tell you to be clever. So do you see that faith is required, but in addition to your faith, wisdom is also required. Do you see that now? Okay? So we are instructed to be wise, and you know that is very instructive. Now, one area of our lives where wisdom is required very, very, very well is in the area of health. One area in our Christian lives where wisdom is required is in the area of health. Amen? Health isn't taught in the Bible as an act of God alone. Do you follow that? Health in the Bible is not taught as an act of God alone. Man's cooperation is also required. And that is why there is always the natural and the spiritual aspect to health. Okay? There is always the natural and spiritual aspect to healing. And you see, many Christians today fall sick and many even die because they've not learned how to combine both the natural and the spiritual for healing. You know, many Christians know the spiritual aspect of healing. Amen? Especially if you've listened to 7 Facts. Amen? And healing in God's word. I mean, you should know that by now, right? Hallelujah. You know, but very few know about the physical aspect to healing. You know, many Christians have been taught how to receive healing, but very few have been taught how to keep healing. Okay? So, you know what this teaching will do? This teaching will focus on the two. You know, not just how to be healed, but also how to live a healthy life. Do you get it? Not just how to be healed, but also how to live a healthy life. Okay? So, let's begin this way. How do you receive your healing? Now, if you've listened to healing in God's word, you have a little bit of an idea on this, right? Okay, but let's begin with that. You know, we also saw a bit of that as well in 7 Facts. Okay, how do you receive your healing? Now, first of all, to be healed, you must realize a significant fact or a very basic fact. Now, what is that fact? Sickness is never God's will for man. Hallelujah. Sickness is never God's will for man. You know, sickness doesn't come from God, neither does God use sicknesses to teach man a lesson. That must be very clear. Sicknesses do not come from God, neither does God use sicknesses to teach man a lesson. You see that Acts 10:38 tells us where sicknesses come from. Please turn your Bible there. Acts 10:38, it says, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good." Underline that. Doing good and healing all, hallelujah, who were oppressed by the devil. Underline that. Oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Do you see that? Okay, so he went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Now, that phrase, doing good, used here, doing good, translates the Greek word euergeteo. Euergeteo. That's E-U-E-R. G-E-T-O. E-U-E-R-G-E-T-O. Now it refers to good deeds. Good deeds. Or kind services. Kind services. Benefits. Or to be philanthropic. Now that word is derived from another Greek word, euergetes. Euergetes. That's E-U-E-R-G-E-T-E-S. E-U-E-R-G-E-T-S. The E after T accentuated. It means a doer of good. Okay? Or a benefactor. A doer of good or a benefactor. So Jesus, who is God's revelation to us, right? Remember? Hebrews 1:3, right? Okay? Is seen as a benefactor. Hallelujah. Now what does that mean? That means that he renders kind services to man. He renders kind services to man. Now the question is, what services? That's what doing good means, okay? What services? Now the word and there, I've told you, is kai, right, in the Greek, which means you can say that is, right? Which qualifies the previously stated. So what is that good? What service does Jesus render? It says, doing good that is healing all. Hallelujah. Doing good that is healing all. So is good is his healing. Do you see that now? Is good is his healing. Now the word healing translates the Greek word iaomai. Iaomai. That's the word used here. Okay. I-A-O-M-A-I. I-A-O-M-A-I. It means to cure or to make whole. To cure or to make whole. So that is Jesus' goodness to man. Okay, that is the service that Jesus renders to man. Now, what is that service? He makes them whole. Do you see that now? He cures their sicknesses. But you observe that within the same verse, Acts 10:38, it tells us where exactly sickness finds its origin. Where exactly sickness finds its source. It says, and all who were oppressed by the devil. Do you see that? Who were oppressed by the devil. So those who are sick are what? Oppressed by the devil. So do you see that sickness is never from God? Do you see that now? Sickness is never from God. Sickness is always from the devil. Now that word oppressed, used here, translates the Greek word katadunastio. Katadunastio. That's K-A-T-A-D-U-N-A-S-T-E-U-O. K-A-T-A-D-U-N-A-S-T-E-U-O. Now it's a compound word. Now I told you about compound words, right? That's where you have two or more words coming together, right? Okay, to form a single word. Now there are two words in there. Now it's a compound verb, okay? Now the word, the two words, the first one we have is kata. K-A-T-A. Kata. Now, the last A accentuated, okay, which means down. Down. Now, it serves as an intensifier for dynastis. Dynastis. That's the second word there, okay? D-Y-N-A-S-T-E-S. D-Y-N-A-S-T-E-S. The A accentuated. The E after T also accentuated, which means to exercise rulership. To exercise rulership. Okay, so put that together. The word simply means to powerfully bring someone down. Okay, to powerfully bring someone down, to tyrannize. Know what that means? Okay, to tyrannize, to dominate. Okay, to treat harshly or to overpower someone. Treat harshly or overpower someone. So this shows you, Acts 10:38, that sickness finds its source in the power of the devil. Do you see that now? Sickness finds its source, its origin in the power of the devil. So Satan uses sicknesses to oppress men. So, and that is why sickness must never be seen as a good thing. Ever. You must never see sickness as a good thing. Sickness is never a good thing, no matter the situation, okay? Sickness is never a good thing. You must come to hate sickness because sickness is a bad thing from a bad devil. Do you see that now? It never finds its source from God. Now you see that Luke chapter 13 records the story of a woman who had been sick 18 years. Now turn there, please. Luke chapter 13, reading from verse 11. Luke chapter 13, reading from verse 11. It says, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity. Now underline that. A spirit of infirmity, 18 years, and was bent over, and could no way rise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called to her and said to her, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. Hallelujah. And look at 13. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Do you see that? Now, but observe how this woman is described. You know, she said to have a spirit of infirmity that bent her over. I told you last week that that would be a spinal cord situation, right? Whereby a person can't lift himself up. Okay? Now, that word infirmity, asthenia in the Greek, that's A-S-T-H-E-N-E-I-A, A-S-T-H-E-N-E-I-A means weakness. Okay, infirmity, okay? It means weakness, frailty, feebleness, malady, disease. Weakness, frailty, feebleness, malady, disease. Okay? So, that phrase, spirit of infirmity, clearly shows you that there was a demonic influence behind a sickness. Do you see that? Do you see that? There was a demonic influence behind a sickness. It's called a spirit. You see that in verse 16, Jesus explains that there. He says, so ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound. Now underline that. Whom Satan has bound. Think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath. Do you see that? So our sickness was caused by Satan. Do you see that now? Our sickness was caused by Satan. Satan used an evil spirit to bound her or to bind her. Okay? And do you see what Jesus did? When he saw that, did Jesus applaud the demon? Huh? Did Jesus say, good job? Huh? He healed her instead. Hallelujah. Do you see that now? So, Jesus wouldn't heal the sick if sickness was from God. Jesus would not heal the sick if sickness was from God. Why? Because that would be akin to him opposing the will of God. Okay, but Jesus healed the sick to remove every doubt from our minds that God sends sicknesses. Do you see that now? Okay, so when Jesus sees sickness, Jesus never applauds sickness. You know, if he's a revelation of God and God sends sickness, when he sees sickness, he should say, this is my work. You get it? This is what I've done. He should not try to oppose it. But you see, Jesus always heals the sick. Do you see that now? He always heals the sick. So you can know about God looking at what Jesus did and what Jesus didn't do. Do you get it? Okay? You can know about God by looking at what Jesus does or what he did, okay, and what he doesn't do. So the devil is behind evil, not God. It would be the devil behind evil, not God. You see that? John 10 verse 10. Please turn your Bible there. John 10 10. It says, the thief does not come except to what? Steal, to kill, and to destroy. Hallelujah. But look at what Jesus says. He says, I have come that they may have life. Hallelujah. Do you see that? And that they may have it more abundantly. So he says, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Now, you know, there are arguments here that the thief here is the Pharisees. Amen? And you know, the argument is quite a good argument. Amen? But like I was saying, who inspires the Pharisees? Amen. Which is the devil, right? Okay, so at the end of the day, the thief there, tracing it back, is to the devil. Do you get it? So even if the thief there is a Pharisees, okay, the causative effect or the causation for their action is the devil. Okay? So the thief there would be the devil. Do you see that now? So the devil works to create destruction in the world. That is his job. He works to create destruction in the world. You see that 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4 calls him the God of this world. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4. He calls him the God of this world. That is, he controls the affairs of this world. That's the devil. He controls the affairs of this world. He is always developing new ways to afflict man. That's the devil. Always finding new ways to afflict man. But Jesus came to deliver from his works. Hallelujah. Amen. You see that 1 John 3 verse 8. Please turn your Bible there. 1 John 3 verse 8. It says, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. It says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Hallelujah. Underline that. That he might destroy the works of the devil. Now, do you observe that works is in plural? Do you see that? The works of the devil. So that is everything that the devil has done and is doing to destroy man. Is sickness included there? Yes. Okay? So we can be confident at all times that God wants us well. You get it? That's the point of this. We can be confident, okay, at all times. You can be sure that God wants us well. Okay? Never in your heart presume that you are sick and the sickness in your body came from God. Do you get it? Never in your heart presume that God gave you sickness. That is not true. Are you following this now? That will be the lie of the devil to keep you sick. Because you know, if God gave me sickness, who am I to oppose God? Amen. Do you get that? You know, if I believe that God gave me sickness, who am I to oppose God? So I will never trust God for healing. So do you see the plan of the devil? Okay, so sickness is never from God. Do you see that now? sickness is never from God. So you can always trust God for your healing. Say, I can always trust God for my healing. It's always His will every time to get me healed. Hallelujah. Now, in God's word, there are a number of ways through which healing may be received. Okay? A multiplicity of ways through which healing may be received. Now, it's important that we note them as well. So we can list now. Okay, I'll give you quite a few of them now. Now, number one, there is healing through the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. There is healing through the name of Jesus. Please look at Mark 16:17. Mark 16:17. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ talking there. It says, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. Okay? They will speak with new tongues. Can we say in my name? Okay, thank you. Then it says, they will take up serpents. Can we say in my name they will take up serpents? Okay? And in my name they will, if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. Do you get that? Okay? And look at that. It says, in my name they will lay hands on the sick, and they, that is the sick, will recover. Do you see that? So, in my name, they will lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. So, there is healing in the name of Jesus. Do you see that? There is healing in the name of Jesus. So, it says here that those who believe will lay hands on the sick, and in His name, the sick will recover. Now, I've told you that the name of Jesus is His authority, right? Look at Matthew 28:18. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Do you see that? So the name of Jesus is that authority that He received at His resurrection. Now, at salvation, Jesus gave that authority to whoever believes. And that's why He says in Mark 16, in my name. Do you get it? So the same authority that Jesus received at His glorification, He gave to His church. Now, by that same authority, we can demand that healing come, and healing will come. Hallelujah. Look at John 14:13. John 14:13. Please turn your Bible there. John 14:13. It says, and whatever you ask in my name, now underline that, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Do you see that? And look at 14. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Hallelujah. Do you see that? If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Can we say in my authority? Okay. Look at John 16:26. John 16:26. It says, in that day you will ask. Do you see that? In my name. And I do not say to you that I shall pray to the Father for you, for the Father loves you because you have loved me, and I believe that I came from God. Do you see that again there? Now, the word ask, used in this text, okay, translates the Greek word aiteo. Aiteo, as A-I-T-E-O. A-I-T-E-O, the last O accentuated. It actually refers to a demand. A demand. It's not begging. Do you follow that? When it says, you will ask in my name, it's not begging. You get it? It's actually a demand. So, what does this mean? This means that in facing sickness, I can demand in the name of Jesus that the sickness leaves. Do you see that? So, Jesus gave us, He gave His church the right to demand healing in His name. Hallelujah. Say, Jesus gave His church the right, the authority to demand healing in His name. Hallelujah. And we saw that in the book of Acts with the apostles. Look at Acts 3:1. It says, now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the night hour. Now look at 2. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. And look at 3. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. Do you see that? Asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. And look at 5. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. And look at 6. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. Hallelujah. Now what is that? In the name of Jesus. Do you see that? In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Can we call that a demand? Can we call that a demand? Do you see that? Okay. It says rise up and walk. So he says, what I have, I give you in the name of Jesus, or in the authority of Jesus, rise up and walk. Now you observe that Peter didn't say, oh Lord, we plead for your healing. You observe that? They'll say, God, we beg you in the name of the Almighty Jesus, in the Almighty Rapha, please give us healing. You know, some people talk that way and they think they are being humble. Actually, that's pride. Amen? Actually, that's pride. It's not being humble. It's actually pride. You know, they want to get, you know, a pastor. Very interesting. Especially in Nigeria here. You know, somebody gets somebody healed and he says, it's by the grace of God. Amen? You know, there is nothing in, you know, some have even said things like, there is nothing in me that can heal the sick. You are saying, that's quite a big statement. Amen? There is nothing in me that can heal the sick. Now, understand what he's trying to say. Okay, he's trying to give glory to God, but he's doing it the wrong way. Amen? Rather than saying that, you can say, God has given us the authority to cast out demons. Amen? God has given us the authority to heal the sick. You know, that's a better way of saying that. Amen? Amen? Okay, so it's not being humble when God has given you authority, and then you say he hasn't given you that. Okay? Okay? So you see, Peter didn't beg. Amen? Rather, he gave clear instructions in the name of Jesus. Okay? He gave commands, can we say? In the name of Jesus. And look at the result. Look at verse 7. And he took him by the hand and lifted him up. And immediately, hallelujah, his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood up and walked and entered, okay, the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. Hallelujah. So you see those words, stood, walked, entered, walking, leaping, those are evidentiary words. Amen. How do we know he was healed? We saw him walking. Amen. We saw he entered. Amen. With his feet. Amen. Okay, so you cannot disprove this because we saw the result of the healing. Do you get that now? Hallelujah. So say there's healing through the name of Jesus. Say, in the name of Jesus, we can heal every and any bodily condition. Hallelujah. Now, number two, there is healing by the laying on of hands. Okay? There is healing by the laying on of hands. Okay, so sometimes hands are laid on the sick, okay? And sometimes they are not laid. You see, in Mark 16 verse 18, you know, Jesus said there, in my name, they will lay hands on the sick. Do you get that? And the sick will recover. Mark 16:18, it says, in my name, they will lay hands. So you see, healing can come via laying on of hands. Do you see that? Okay? Now, the word recover used there, Mark 16:18, translates, or in the Greek, means they will be made well. Okay, that's literally what it says in the Greek. They will be made well. So you can say it this way. They will lay hands on the sick, and the sick will be made well. Hallelujah. Okay? So say, my hands have the power of God. I can lay hands on the sick, and they will recover and be made well. You see that Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ, laid hands on the sick to get them healed. You see that, right? In the four Gospels, look at Luke 4, verse 40. Luke 4:40. Jesus had the habit of laying hands on the sick. Luke 4:40. It says, when the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them. Underline that. He laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Do you see that? Okay, so you see, laying on of hands was pivotal in Jesus' healing ministry. Look at Mark 7:32. It says, then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to put his hand on him. Do you see that? Put his hand on him. Please underline that, okay? So they understood what would happen, right? When his hands were placed on the man, and he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers, underline that, okay? Put his fingers in his ears and his part and touched his tongue, okay? And 34, then looking up to heaven, he signed and said, Ephata, that is, be open. And look at 35, immediately, hallelujah, his ears were open and the impediment of his tongue was loose and he spoke plainly. Do you see that? So in the healing ministry of Jesus, hands were laid a lot. See that there? In the healing ministry of Jesus, hands were laid a lot. You see that the apostles as well followed his pattern and then his instructions. Remember his instruction, Mark 16:18, right? Okay, in the book of Acts. Look at Acts 28:8, for example. Acts 28:8, for example. Now there, that's the apostle Paul. Acts 28:8. Now I read, and it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery. Paul went into him and prayed and laid his hands on him. Now underline that. Laid his hands on him and healed him. Do you see that? Okay, so say there is healing in my hands. I can lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover. Hallelujah. Now number three, there is also healing by simply saying the word. Okay? There is also healing by simply saying the word. Now this is especially for healing over a long distance. Okay, for example, I'm in Nigeria and I'm trying to get somebody healed in America. Okay, I can get that healing to be effected by saying the word. Do you get that? Okay, you see an example of that in Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. Please turn your Bible there. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. Now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, "Lord, my servant is paralyzed, laying at home, dreadfully tormented." Now look at 7. And Jesus said to him, "I will come and heal him." And pay attention to that, okay? "I will come and heal him." And look at verse 8. The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word." Now underline that. "Only speak a word, and my servant will." Is that definite? Okay, thank you. "We will be healed. Only speak a word." Now look at 9. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say, now underline that, I say to one, go, and he goes, and I say to another, come, and he comes. You see that? And to my servant, do this, and he does it. You see that now? And look at 10. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, "Assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the sons of the kingdom," that is Israel, okay, "will be cast out into outer darkness. There," that is in the outer darkness, "will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now 13. Then Jesus said to the centurion, now the line Jesus said, can we call that a word? Okay, "Go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done to you." And his servant was healed that same hour. Hallelujah. Okay, so you don't have to be physically present to heal the sick. Do you see that now? No, say there's no distance when it comes to the power of God. Say there's no distance when it comes to the power of God. So I don't have to be physically present to heal the sick. Okay, so you can speak a word from your location and heal someone who is miles away from you. Okay, you see something as well similar to that. John chapter 4, verse 46. John 4:46. Please turn your Bible there. Are you there now? Okay. So Jesus came again to Canaan of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. Now the line at Capernaum. Do you get that? Now where was he? Verse 46, where was he? Canaan of Galilee, right? Okay. Now look at Cana of Galilee. Now look at 47. When he heard that Jesus of Judea had come into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. And look at 48. Then Jesus said to him, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe." The nobleman said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." And look at 15. Jesus said, can we call that a word? A spoken word. Okay. "Go your way, your son lives." Hallelujah. So the man believed the word. Now underline that. Very key. Believed the word that Jesus spoke. Underline Jesus spoke. Okay. To him. And he went his way. Now look at 51. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and said to him, told him, "Your son lives." And look at 52. Then he inquired of them the hour. Underline that. The hour. When he got better, and they said to him, "Yes, yesterday at the seventh hour," underline that, "the seventh hour, the fever left him." And look at 53. So the father knew that it was at the same hour, underline that, at the same hour in which Jesus said, underline said. Do you see that? So can we say at the same hour he spoke the word? Okay, to him your son lives, and he believed, and his whole household. Hallelujah. So Jesus was at Cana, right? While the sick son was at Capernaum. Jesus was at Canaan, and the sick son was at Capernaum. Now that is about 16 miles away. Okay, 16 miles away. So Jesus at a distance spoke the word, and the nobleman's son was healed. So we can also have that today. Amen. Amen. We can also have that today. Amen. Hallelujah. So do you see that now? You see, there are several ways through which healing can be effected, but it is still the healing power of God. Hallelujah. Okay, so now let's ask another question, and let's answer it as well as we begin to close gradually now. Now, is healing always instant? Amen. Is healing always instant? Now, you know, many people read the stories in the Bible where people received healing instantaneously, okay, and immediately, and then they begin to assume that healing works that way all the time. You know, not necessarily so. Amen. Not necessarily so. You know, some Christians believe that healing that doesn't happen now has not happened. Amen. Or healing that does not happen now is not healing. That's not necessarily so. You know, the same Bible that teaches instant healing also teaches gradual healing over a period of time. Did you get that? The same Bible which teaches instant healing, okay, also teaches gradual healing over a period of time. You get that? Okay, so the power of God can work miracles immediately, right? Okay, and the power of God can also work miracles gradually over a period of time to give you what you seek. Now, look at Exodus 23, for example. Exodus 23:29. Exodus 23:29. It says, I will not drive them out from before you in 1 year. Now, underline that. Very key. In 1 year. I will not drive them out from before you in 1 year. Lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. And look at 30. Little by little, underline that. Little by little, I will drive them out from before you until you have increased and inherit the land. Do you see that? So there is such a thing as little by little, even with the power of God. Do you see that? There is such a thing as little by little, even with the power of God. Okay, now that word little translates the Hebrew word miat. Miat, that's M-E-A-T. M-E-A-T, miat. Now it means fewness, small, lightly. Fewness, small, lightly. So God's power can work miracles in this manner. Now what manner? Little by little, small by small. But you know, the problem with most people today is that they want to give their testimonies too soon. Amen? You know, while the power of God is still healing them, they start blabbing, and then devil gets them. You know what they should have done? They should have continued feeding on healing scriptures. Okay, the healing is still ongoing. You know, they begin to see little changes and they begin to give testimony. Not necessarily so. You don't have to put yourself under pressure to tell yet. Do you follow what I'm saying here? Okay, you can let the power, you must be careful, okay, to let God's power finish what is started before you start telling people. Are you following this now? Before you start telling people all over the place. So do you see that there is such a thing as little by little? Amen. Fewness, lightness, smallness, okay? When it comes to the power of God. But it doesn't mean it's not the power of God. Do you see that now? Now, you see numerous examples of this little by little action of God's power in the scriptures. Now, number one, you may list here. Let's look at the flood. Remember that? Genesis 8, right? Right? The flood, Genesis 8. Now look at Genesis 8 verse 1. It says, then God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the animals that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the water subsided. Now remember here that the whole earth was covered, right? With water, okay? Now look at that. And the water subsided. Now underline that. Please look at your Bible. Subsided. Underline subsided. Do you see that? And look at 2, the fountains of the deep and the windows of heaven was restrained. Now, underline restrained. Amen. Okay? Restrained. And look at 3, and the waters receded continually. Underline that. Receded continually. Now, that's little by little. Do you see that? Receded continually from the earth, and the end of 150 days, the word has decreased. Do you see that? At the end of 150 days, the word has decreased. So think about that. 150 days. That's how long it took for the power of God to effect that miracle. Now, how many of you can wait for that long? Think about that. 150 days. And look at verse 4. Now, even at that point, you know, there was still water. Look at verse 4. Then the ark rested in the seventh month. Underline that. The seventh month, the 17th day of the month, on the mountains of Ararat. Okay? And the waters decreased continually. Do you see that? So it kept reducing. Do you see that? Can we cut that little by little? Gradually, okay? Until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains were seen. Do you see that? Now, some people ask the question that why didn't God just dry all the waters at once, right? After all, he dried the Red Sea in one night, right? So why didn't he just dry up all the waters in the earth at once? Now, you forget that one, the Red Sea was a sea, right? Now, here, the whole world had been covered with water. You know, that's not the same thing. Do you know that? The Red Sea is a sea. Here we have the whole earth, right? Covered with water. And you see that in fact, the drying of the Red Sea also took time. Look at Exodus 14:21. Let me show you that. It also took time. Exodus 14:21. It said, then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night. Do you see that? How long did it take? All that night, and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. Now look at 22. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on the right hand and on the left. So it took all the night for the Red Sea to dry up. Now in the Jewish clock, that is 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. Think about that. 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. So do you see that there is such a thing as timing to the power of God? Do you see that now? You see that now? Now, that timing doesn't mean that the power of God is not working. It simply means that you have to be patient. But you see, many Christians refuse to be patient. Now, another example of that, you see, is Abraham. Okay? An example of that little by little, gradually, of the power of God. Now, you see that God promised Abraham that he would be the father of many nations, right? Okay? Now, when that promise was made to him, he was 75 years old. Look at that. Genesis 12 is 1. He was 75 years old. Now the Lord had said to Abram, okay, that was his name then, okay, it was later changed, right, to Abraham. He said, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. And look at 2, I will make you a great nation, underline that, a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and it shall be a blessing. And look at 3, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And look at 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. And the Lord went with him. And Abram was what? 75 years old. Underline that. 75 years old. When he departed from Aram. Do you see that? So Abram was 75. When the promise was made to him. But you notice that Abram, or later his name was changed to Abraham, did not receive that promise till he was 100 years old. Amen. Till he was 100 years old. You see that Genesis 21 verse 5. Genesis 21 verse 5. It says, now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. So how many years was that? 25 years. Do you see that? So he took the power of God 25 years to correct his impotency. Do you see that? Yet he was patient. How many of you can wait for 25 years? Some people in the third day, they are saying the power of God is not working. How many of you can actually wait for 25 years? But you see, with Abraham, okay, we learn patience from him. You see that Hebrews chapter 6 records Abraham's patience. Please turn there. Verse 13, Hebrews 6. It says, for when God made a promise to Abraham, now underline the promise, okay, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. And look at 15. And so after he had patiently endured, underline that, patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Do you see that? So do you see that there is patience to faith? Do you see that? There is patience to faith. You know, so how many of you are willing to wait for that long? How many of you are willing to stay with the power of God for that long? You know, for some people, just 1 week is too long. Just 1 week. Remember I told you when we looked at healing in God's word that God's mercy takes time. Right? God's medicine takes time to heal you, to cure you. Okay. However, many are not willing to wait on God's promises till they see the result. Okay. They give up after a short time. And that is why they never enjoy the power of God in their affairs. Do you see that now? That is why. You see another example again, the story of Naaman. Remember I told you it's impossible to teach about healing without coming back to this guy. Amen. Let's look at 2 Kings 5, verse 10. Say, God expects me to be patient as I wait for my healing. Hallelujah. So it doesn't mean the power of God is not working. It simply means I have to be patient. Hallelujah. Look at 2 Kings 5 verse 10. 2 Kings 5 10. It said, and Elijah sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times. Underline that. 7 times. And your flesh shall be restored to you and you shall be clean. Do you see that? 7 times. And you observe that Naaman wasn't healed until the 7th time. Look at verse 14 of the same chapter. So he went down and dipped 7 times. Underline that. 7 times in the Jordan according to the word of the man of God. Do you see that? And his flesh was restored. Hallelujah. Like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Why wasn't he healed at the 3rd time? Amen. Why wasn't he healed at the 2nd time? Why wasn't he healed at the 6th time? So do you see that this story is to teach patience with the power of God? Do you see that? It's to teach being patient with the power of God. So you must be willing to wait sometimes to receive of God's power. Do you see that now? Impatient people rarely receive anything. Okay? Impatient people, they rarely receive anything. You see that even in simple things, now this is number 4, even in simple things like direction, there is need for patience. Amen? See someone praying to God for direction and he wants God to answer him in the next 5 minutes. There is such a thing even as patience. You see that Jeremiah 42 verse 7, it tells us that it took 10 days for Jeremiah the prophet, okay, to receive the word of the Lord for his people. It took 10 days for Jeremiah to receive the word of the Lord for the people. Look at that, Jeremiah 42 verse 7. Jeremiah 42 verse 7. It said, and it happened after 10 days that the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Underline that. After 10 days. Do you see that? So do you see that you need patience when dealing with God? Do you see that? Do you see that? You need patience when dealing with God. Some people don't receive their healing because they are impatient. They stop trusting the power of God because they haven't seen the result yet. They are looking for sharp results. Okay? Remember I told you healings can be wrought immediately and healings can be wrought gradually. Say healing can be wrought immediately. It can also be wrought gradually. Say it's the same power of God. Hallelujah. Now number 5. Another example again. You see that even in the healing ministry of Jesus, there was an example of that little by little of God's power. Even in Jesus' healing ministry. Look at Mark 8:22. Quite an interesting story there. Mark 8:22. Then our Lord Jesus Christ, came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him, and he begged them to touch him, or he begged him to touch him. Okay, so he took the blind man by the hand, now look at that, and led him out of the town, and when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, do you see that? He asked him if he saw anything, underline that, if he saw anything, and looked up, underline that, and he looked up, alright, and that's the blind man, right? Okay, and said, I see men like trees walking. Do you see that? Now look at verse 23 again. Remember, what did Jesus do? He laid us on him, right? And he asked him if he saw anything, right? Now what happened? The man looked up and what did he see? Men like trees walking. So do you see his eyesight improved but not fully? Do you see that? He could see but not completely. Now this is Jesus, who? Amen? Right? God that became a man. So you wonder, why didn't the eyes just pop open the first time? I think it was you and I, right? When we went out on outreach, we had an incident like that. You know, somebody is, one of his eyes was in seen, couldn't see, blind in a high, and we laid hands on him the first time, okay? The eyesight didn't improve. I think it wasn't until the 3rd time, right, that the eyesight improved. Hallelujah. Amen? Okay, so that's very comforting for me. Amen? The same thing happened to Jesus. Hallelujah. So he had to lay hands again the 2nd time. Can we call that gradual? Can we call that little by little? Okay? Now look at what happened the 2nd time. Verse 25. Then he put his hands on his eyes again. Underline that. Again. Do you see that? And he made him look up and he was restored. Hallelujah. And saw everyone clearly. Do you observe that? So do you observe that there was gradual improvement in his eyesight? Okay? Gradual improvement in his eyesight. So even with Jesus, there was sometimes that little by little. Okay? Gradually, little by little, with the healing power of God. Now, most times, this little by little is not God purposely delaying the healing. Are you following this? It's not God purposely delaying the healing. Oftentimes, it is us walking in faith more and more, trusting God more and more, till we receive what we want. Are you following this? Okay, so the issue most times is not with God, it's with us. Okay, so as we trust Him gradually, our faith receives more and more. Do you get it? More and more, what we desire. But one thing is clear. Never up on the power of God simply because you haven't seen immediate results. Do you get that? Never give up on the power of God simply because you have not seen immediate results. You must keep believing in the healing power of God for that situation. Do you follow this now? You know, some attend meetings, and in the meetings, hands are laid on them for a particular condition, and they are healed, right? And then afterwards, the symptoms return, and then they start to get worried again. That shouldn't be. Okay? You know, as we'll see, there are several things you can do to keep the healing that God gives you. One of the things you can do is realizing that God's power can sometimes take time to cure the illness. Okay? Hence, patience is required. Are you following this now? Patience is required. So that tumor can disappear. Amen. That condition can die out. Amen. That blood disease can leave. Amen. Amen. It has been there for a while, right? But you've been trusting God for it for a while, right? Amen. It can leave, amen. But don't stop trusting God. Amen. Don't stop trusting God simply because you haven't seen an immediate result. Little by little, God's power is working in your body, effecting a healing and a cure. So you too can be healed. Hallelujah. Did you learn? Lift your hands and give Him praise. Thank Him.